magnify you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. Jesus. Sing it, please. Again.
Nothing is too difficult.
Worship you, Jesus.
The journey's not too long.
Worthy is the Lamb.
And I will spend my life on you. Because of who you are. Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too hard. And I will spend my life on you. Because of who you are.
Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Glorify you. Worship Jesus. Worship you. Father, we worship you and glorify you. I pray that the heaven is paying attention to this service as the pastor and the senior pastor of this church, along with the associate pastor and the elders. Father, we want to say to you today, the elders and the leaders and anyone who joins their heart, Father, I speak for myself. And I pray that I speak for those whose hearts are with me. That I pledge my solemn vow before all of heaven to spend my life, what is left, to find every place of death to the flesh that I can give you. That my life is spent. That our lives are spent. This is our vow. We will not grow weary in well-doing. We will not faint. We will not relent. We will not stop. We will not become lukewarm, watered down. But Father, we choose again and again and again, and let this day be earmarked in heaven and on earth and before all holy angels, that our commitment is to go into Him. Unrelenting, unabated, without entanglement of this world, and we look unto your grace to help us to finish our course with the same strength, with the same momentum, with the same velocity that we began with, and even more, Father. We choose to say this is no time to become lukewarm. This is no time to look at the world around us. This is no time to flirt with the world around us. But we all the more set our teeth in the truth of your word, your unfailing word, and to live godly and righteously and soberly in this world. This is the grace that has appeared, that bringeth forth salvation. We will receive this outpouring. The blind will see, the lame will walk, and the deaf will hear, and the dumb will speak. And all these other things will be added unto us. But this first part we find all the more amazing after all these years that you've given us an access to become conformed to His image. We refuse every excuse to the flesh. We refuse every excuse, even the ones that seem spiritual. Haven't prayed enough, didn't pray enough in tongues. I didn't have to pray in tongues not to sin. I didn't have to spend hours in tongues not to sin. I was born again. I was free from sin without a prayer. I was free from sin without a tongue. I was made free the day that I was born again. Pakaresete. Makote. No restraint is not part of who we are. Restraint does not come through prayer. Restraint came through the power of the new nature. Restraint through prayer is only an accentuation of what we are, who we are. Jesus. Sing it over and over, please. Jesus.
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too I will spend my life on you because of who you are. Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too spend my life on you because of who you are. Oh, nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too spend my life on you.
My associate said, is there any way to rewind that prayer and play it again? He wanted everybody that's coming in. I let him know that most everybody, it's almost 10:30, most everybody that's going to be here is here, and we're part of it. But I believe that's the power that brings forth revival right there. That's the power. And I agree with him 1,000%. We need it saturated. Man, he's still here. Know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that as you mingle with each other in fellowship on a casual basis, during a service, after a service, times of fellowship, times of greeting, embracement, there are those among you, male and female, men and women, who in their heart have made the journey. They have not arrived at perfection as humanity calls perfections. You would observe their life, you'd find things that you'd call faults. But I say unto you, there are those among you that have crossed a line and chose that every bridge back into the world or every bridge back into their own life is present tense, built or destroyed. Bakarosetiete. I paused right there for a moment because he said this. Those bridges could be rebuilt. They could be rebuilt. But for the present in their life, where they've come to and where they aspire to go, they've traded in their hearts all to come to me. These are the walking dead. You'll not recognize them by the outward appearance. But you'll recognize them by what comes out of their mouth on a continual basis and out of their hearts. There are those among you that you embrace, and there are those that you know who've made this journey already in their hearts and in their minds. They've given themselves over to me. I'll visit these, and through these I'll inspire more to come to this side, to draw the line in the sand, There are some that are close and closer than others, but are still hanging on to parts of the world. But I will by my Spirit entice these and draw these. For it is written, the spirit within thee lusteth to envy. This is my desire, that you come over to a place to where that the things of the Spirit become more appetizing to you than the things of the world. That you walk in to the death of the flesh. For by this, I'll cause many, many to come into this. But know already, there are those among you that walk into this place and will be continued perfected by this place, saith the Spirit of grace. Baharese. Vedicalasoto fobritia bloso bedea. For many look for champions and say, I wish that I knew some of those old champions of the New Testament that were written about. I say that among you now are those who've made the same decisions to follow me. Gelakaraso. I was with those unto martyrdom. But the martyrdom that they gave themselves over to me in was not instantaneous. It was the same route that many of you are taking to choose to die to the things of this world. So that nothing in this world meant anything, even to unto death. So know this again, I say to you, there are those among you who are walking in this place. They'll be the ones that I'll use to pull others into this place. And they'll be the ones that I'll use in intercession to bring about this great harvest, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it's an atmosphere that's conducive to revival. It's an atmosphere we could stay in all day. And hallelujah. It's got a powerful message for us here in a little bit, but with the knowledge that you're probably going to greet some or several that have already made a decision to go all the way, and that will inspire all of us, why don't you go around and shake somebody's hand or give somebody a hello or a hi or a hug, maybe even. Hallelujah. We'll just read a familiar portion of Scripture here that is oftentimes read, sometimes misconstrued and not taught correctly. Good morning. Hallelujah. 16, verse 13, it says, no man, Jesus said, can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I don't know if your King James says mammon, but that is the exact word for money in our English. Jesus distinctly said you cannot serve the two. You'll serve only one. You'll love one or hate the other. So this whole thing came about as a parable, or came at the end of a parable, which we'll read, which we have read many times before in the past, but it won't take us but just a moment to read this parable, because what he just said there at the end, that you cannot love God and money, you'll serve one or the other, came as a result of this that Jesus taught. Verse 1, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now you know what a steward is. It's someone that uses the money that the rich man has to prosper the rich man. And he called him, verse 2, and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no more or no longer the steward. Then the steward said unto within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. They would be the people of whom had a debt that they owed to the rich man that this particular person worked for. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, How much owest thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bill and write 40. And the Lord commended the unjust steward and said, or because he had done wisely, for the children, Jesus said, of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you your own? And then, of course, the scripture that we read, no man can serve two masters. We're not going to belabor this particular teaching this morning because we've went over it so many times before in the past, but for those who have never particularly heard this, and there's always taken into account those that are new or those that are just coming in or those that have never heard some of the greater teachings on this. But of course, Jesus is using this as a way to understand true spiritual riches. When he speaks here of the true riches, what he's talking about here is mankind, the salvation of people. And he's using this whole parable here to teach how God looks at money and how God looks at money as in regards to the stewardship of the individuals in the church. Now, it said here from the beginning that the steward or the person that was to handle money had wasted it. It didn't necessarily say that he had embezzled it for himself. That could have been part of it. But he had just been a waster. He had not used it correctly. So the Lord of him or his boss said, I'm going to put you out of your stewardship. We'd call that being fired today. And you're no longer going to work for me, but while you're cleaning out your desk, basically, while you're still under the employment, this guy was real smart. He thought to himself, well, you know, I can't dig. He meant I can't go out and get a physical daytime working under the sun job. He must have been a puny pencil pusher. And he had been an accountant all his life and worked in the shade or in the AC. And he's like, I can't do that. There's no way. I'm not physically able. And to go out and beg, people have been watching me for years drive around in a real nice car and wear nice suits. To go back to being a common person and just trying to beg for money, I can't do that. My pride won't let me do it. He said, I know what I'll do. So that when I am put out of my stewardship, I'll always have a place to crash. I'll always have a place to live, and I'll always have somebody to feed me. I'll go and buy favors. I'll find favors. So he went around to all of the debtors, the people that owed his master money, and said, how much do you owe him? Well, I owe him so much. And so the whole story was he settled with them for a lesser amount, and by that he was buying a favor from them. Like, I'm gonna hold this as my trump card in days ahead. Remember that you always owe me something. You owe me a favor in the future. And so they did that. They would write the bill, and they would sign the check, give it over to him. So we see the end result when he goes back into his Lord, and he tells him, here's your money, and here's what I got out. I settled all of your accounts for this. And the guy said, you know what? You're real sharp. You're real sharp. He wasn't commending his deceptiveness, but he was saying he was wise in that he bought himself a future. And the future was this. You bought a future for yourself because you used the power that was in my money to buy yourself a future. And so the Lord used that as an example. And he said that in the latter part of this, that we should use the mammon of unrighteousness, talking about it, money is in the world system. He wasn't talking about that we were unrighteous because we had to use money, but it's in the world system. And he was basically saying, buy to your, he was saying this like then, the man bought himself friends, but he said, use the mammon of unrighteousness so that when you fail or that when your life is over, they receive you into everlasting, everlasting being eternal habitations. What he was simply saying is this, we get the incredible privilege in this life while we're still living in a body to take money and let it interpret to the salvation of souls. So that when we expel or that when we, our life is over, that there will be a, the reward of seeing everlasting souls. And if we treat it like part of what we get, that blood and sweat and tears and all that heat and everything that you're out there doing when you guys are running around there and the bees are all over you, and like your mom said, you're having a hard time not cussing, and when all that, and then you take and you give a portion of that to the church because you believe in what we're doing, and then we stand up here and we preach the gospel, invite people to be born again, that reward is on your account. And God says, look, if I can see that, you really will do that because you want the true riches to be, you want the true riches, which are people, to be born again, then I can entrust you with another man's, because the other man's is what he'll give you to help bring about his gospel. And he then basically says, though, but if I can't trust you, if you don't, if it doesn't matter to you who lives or dies or goes to hell, how can I give you beyond that? Because you're going to squander it on yourself anyway. Hallelujah. Everybody got that? We are of the persuasion that we are good stewards, right? We are choosing on a continual basis to say, I'm going to use this other man's money. What's the other man's? The excess that he gives us to say, okay, Lord. Somebody said, I never have excess. Well, you may not have excess because you're doing the first part of this. You're wasting money. You're wasting it. Listen, your car's still good until, I mean, if it doesn't have a couple hundred thousand miles on there, dear Lord, it's a good car. Hallelujah. Well, I got to buy my kid. He's got three pair of $200 pairs of shoes in the, but I got to go get him. I got to go get him another one. Because, why? Because he said so. And then you don't, and then there's no money. Well, we just don't have it. God, I'll tell you what, it's in our hearts to give, but we just don't have it. Oh yeah, you had it. You just didn't realize you had it. Hallelujah. I'm preaching real good. Hallelujah. So, amen. So, Pastor, are you okay? Yes, I'm real good, and I'm being taken care of real good, and the Lord blessing me. I'm not trying to get a bigger paycheck. I'm just telling you, we're all in this together, are we? Amen. So, Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We ask you to bless our time of giving. And those that are watching, Father, I thank you for everything that, Lord, God comes through their ministry and through the house here, through all of our family here at the house. We ask you to bless our time together, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. So, with no further ado, why don't you go ahead and prepare. If you have something this morning, put it in an offering envelope. At the end of the year, if you want a receipt for all this, you have to put it in an offering envelope. If somebody comes up and no matter how, man, it's appreciated if you just put a whole bunch of cash in there and you don't say anything, that's fine with me. But if you want record, we can't, if you say, Pastor, I put $10,000 in the church this past year in cash, I cannot write you out a receipt. Sorry, just based on your word. I have to have it, you have to put it in there, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So next week we're going to teach on baptismal, water baptism, and prepare all of our candidates. We're going to have 4, 5, or 6 from here. And we've got like 5 from Alabama. Maybe Alabama's watching this morning, I hope. We got all the Averitts that are coming. I can't wait to baptize them. We're going to have a reception for everyone after. I want to make it easier. We're probably going to have public subs or something like that. And then we might ask some of you ladies, if you could, to bring some dessert. But everything will be provided for by the church. So we're just going to try to keep it as simple as possible. We'll have service, baptism, come back, and
you know, I don't want people working real hard, just trying to just throw out some sandwiches. And Pastor, that's easy for you to say. I know. There's work in everything. I understand that, even simple stuff. So, but as simple as possible. So praise the Lord. Back tonight, Sunday night, we're coming back, Jesus. Hallelujah. We were lost, but Lord God, we're found. Hallelujah. We were blind, but now we see. Hallelujah. So glory to God. So let's all stand together this morning. We've got an interesting service coming up. So I'm going to ask you to please stay around. Amen. Hallelujah. So Father, bless this now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have something, Marty, can you give us some music to make us happy to bring this down? And glory to God. Amen. I know that there's some weeks that you just can't give, and then there's some you may be waiting for a month. It may be waiting for something to come in or whenever it is, but thank you for your faithfulness. I really appreciate that. It means so much. And thank you out there as well. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way. Pray for me. Father, I thank you for all your grace. I bless you, and I thank you for all of them, them being those that are here and those that are watching. And we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.